Well, here we are. Who are you?
I don't know.
It's not a good start.
I was a masked person, but I no longer am, so.
Oh, well. Anyways, I see my coffee cup. I wanted to bring it up because I figured I might need something to drink. My excuse. And I realize it's casting a shadow with these awesome bright lights, and I can't read a thing. That's okay. For those of us you don't know or online, I'm Bill, as you probably figured out, and this is Susan. And yeah, we've been here
five and a half years now.
Man, time flies when you're having fun. This has been good. I tell you, we love the church here. We've enjoyed being certainly part of it and the ministry here. And it's a cool opportunity to be able to share a little bit with you this morning. Do you want to add anything to that?
Just thank you for, I know when we came here, we both came with we'd been through a rough time, and this has been such a place of healing for us. It's just been a really, really cool place to be. And we're grateful for a chance to share today what God has laid on our hearts.
Yeah, amen to that. And what we're going to share this morning is some things I think have been kind of on our hearts, and we've been kind of working through, and reflections a bit on this past year and going forward, and trying to focus on things so that God has done. But I want to start with this picture. I got a bit of a echo here. I'm not sure if you got a bit of feedback there. I'm not sure. There we go. Yeah. Rock will get it. I know. Anyways, how many of you like watching movies? Anybody? Yep. You got to know that so often it's the music that makes the movie. You know, it's got a good movie, has a good theme song, a good opening song, and music through it. And if you don't believe it, imagine this. How many of you have seen Star Wars? Yeah, a few of you. How many are old enough to have seen the original Star Wars? Oh, yeah. You know, I remember that as a kid. I guess I was a sort of a kid. I might have been more a teenager. Man, time flies. You know, it's such a majestic song, right? You know, this big overture beginning. It's so majestic. And you just know something cool is coming down. It's an epic. But imagine for a moment that you're to change that song. And the theme song for the movie was a country tune. Like, my princess ran away with the Wookiee. You know, it's not, you're a tough audience. It's not going to work. You know, it's the music that does it. Well, if 2021 was a movie, what theme song would you choose? Yeah, actually, for me, it was a really easy question. And I know for a lot of you, well, there's enough gray hair here, you probably remember the particular movie. And it's one that goes back to 75, so I know it's, some of you are, you weren't even a twinkle then. But there's a movie, and there's the ocean. Yeah, you know. Exactly. There's the ocean. And of course, there's always got to be somebody swimming in the ocean. And ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. You know, this coming, and soon the shark fin comes across. And of course, it's a movie, Jaws. But that theme song, you know, something not good is going to happen. And a lot of bad things are going to happen. And that's been kind of 2021, hasn't it? Every time we turned around, there was something else. We started, of course, with COVID, and we're still dealing with that. But I got to tell you something before I move on here. There is something, though, about movies like Jaws. The fact I remember that scene says something about how going through tough times and difficult things leaves a lasting impression on us. And it can be a good thing. Or a bad thing, depending on how we choose to respond to it. I mean, how many remember a Hallmark Christmas movie? Well, actually, it's easy to remember because they're all the same. I mean, it's a cookie cutter plot line, right? You just change the face. Usually it's the same actors, actually, actresses. You just change the location and change some names and you have a new movie, right? But you think about the difficult ones, the ones that leave an impression. I mean, I don't think I've ever looked at the ocean the same. I'm not sure I look at a lake the same since seeing Jaws. And I got to tell you, I was too young to see it in the theater when it first came out. You know, despite the gray hair, I'm not quite that old. But I did see it shortly after. And I tell you, what's lurking under there? It was kind of scary. You know, to this day, I kind of like, how many of you have been on Clearwater Lake? Anybody? It's awesome being out there. You can see so far down. You know if there's something lurking under there, you can see it. It gets its name legitimately. But if you're in waters where you can't see, it's like, ooh, is there that big shark? Am I going to get eaten today? Yeah. Well, how many of you are glad you left 2021 behind? Yeah. How many of you think 2022 is going to be better? How many of you are afraid to jinx it? I know we're not supposed to be superstitious. I get that. But you're almost afraid to say it's going to be better because, yeah, scary, isn't it? We've had some bad experience. Well, 2021 did have its challenges. Of course, COVID, we had that dry spell, then drought conditions, that crazy heat. Now, you know, I always wonder what really hot weather was like. I remember my dad talking about, you know, going down Death Valley, down in California. I tell you, it was hot. I always thought I'd have to go someplace like that to feel that kind of heat. And I'll be quite happy if I never feel it again. You know, I mean, I was grateful for air conditioning. Yeah. We had wildfires, destroyed towns, homes. We had the fire in Juniper. That affected some of you very directly. Evacuations. You know, I doubt I'll ever forget that Sunday night. We were meeting at Oasis, and I think Pine View, certainly west of there, was under an evacuation alert. And, I mean, probably just about everybody here and probably half the atheists in town, too, were praying. You know, kind of wondering just what's going to happen. I remember I was kind of, I don't know, I was restless, and I have a habit of kind of, I'm a bit of a geeky nerd kind of guy, I guess. You know, I had this app on my phone. I could actually track the heat signatures of the fires. I was kind of, thanks NASA. And I was kind of checking to see what was happening. It was, I stepped out to have a look, and I felt a couple of raindrops. I thought, Lord, bring on more. And I believe it was that night. There was a downpour on part of the western, eastern side of the Tremont Creek fire, and it basically slowed it right down. Man, a thing of beauty. And of course, it didn't stop everything, but I mean, it was the beginning of relief. I was grateful for that. We had apocalyptic smoke. For those of you like me who got some lung issues, I mean, that smoke can get pretty intense. Bomb cyclones. Who heard of those before? Man, I tell you, the geeky side. There's an app you can kind of track what's going on in the weather in really weird places. I mean, there was wave heights just off the coast of Vancouver Island, basically top to the bottom, you know, from peak to trough, close to the height of the ceiling here. Now, you just imagine being in that. I'm not really like a sailor guy. I know my dad talked about when he was in the Navy, some of the stuff they went through. I kind of like dry land when it's like that. I don't know about you. Atmospheric rivers, the floods, man, highways wiped out. I mean, it's been crazy. And then, of course, we get this pleasant minus 20s weather. I thought I left it behind on the prairies, thank you. But we got it here. Thanks, Russia, for sending it our way. I'm kind of happy it's warmed up today. And of course, there was that microscopic party pooper called COVID-19. Made a mess of a lot of things. Travel restrictions, event cancellations, having to do church online. which is kind of cool in its own way. In fact, some of you are still participating online, and we're so grateful for that. We became Zoom experts. I mean, I'm kind of a techie guy, but I never paid much attention to Zoom. I always thought Zoom was a thing on your camera. And after a while, all you could get is Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. We're all Zooming to talk to each other. Meetings online. I remember the first time our life group got back together in person. And it was like we almost didn't know how to be in the same room together. It was almost like we needed to Zoom each other from our phones so we could talk. You know, the conversation was stilted. It was weird. We got over it. But it was one of those things we learned how to deal with. I think the only thing in short supply was, I should say not in short supply, was the emotional angst and anxiety. I mean, the mental health issues. I mean, how many here struggled with some level of anxiety this past year? I mean, how could you not? It's taken its toll on the church. And yet, God has been faithful. You know, I don't think I ever thought once this year, I wish I was in Matt's shoes. I don't think I did cry. Not once. Actually, I was actually really happy that I'm not a vocational ministry at the time. I'm also grateful for coffee. Excuse me. These days, you know, if you got a tickle in your throat, everybody kind of looks at you, you know, unclean, unclean. Yeah. Yeah, being in ministry is tough. And like I say, I'm glad I'm not. I am on the board, as I think Phil mentioned there, but it's actually kind of nice at this point in time not to be the guy who's supposed to make everything sunshine and roses. And by the way, how's your sunshine factory going, Matt? You all ready for the year to pour out the sunshine on us? Yeah. Of course, I jest. If you think that his job is to make everything sunshine and roses, you're sadly mistaken. Leading and caring for a church in a time like this is not easy. I mean, at any time it's not easy, but particularly so. And we're grateful for your leadership, Matt. You know, it's been tough. I know some of the conversations on the board and trying to figure out things, you know, it's, you know, our hearts are with you. Absolutely. You and Catherine, it's, and Phil and Brandon and Carly and everybody else who's been part of the team here. It's always dangerous to start rolling out names because, of course, you forget. I just ask you to continue to be patient with our pastoral staff. They need it. And support them. And I get the trepidation from a pastoral point of view of the Sunday head count. Who's going to show up today? With COVID, that's been tough. And you wonder, are we going to keep the doors open? How many people are really watching online when we do this? Am I wearing the right shoes? Now, Matt probably doesn't ask that question, I don't know. You know, wardrobe failures for pastors are good for a lot of jokes. Are we faithful to God? Are we a people who are growing? Are we a growing church? I mean, these are the things that rattle through, you know, I'm sure Matt's mind and Phil's mind. And yeah. And you start to ask questions like, should I really have asked Bill and Susan to speak this morning? Or at least that Bill guy, maybe Susan, but you know, we'll try not to make you regret it. But you know, this is hardly the first time the people of God have walked through difficult times. In fact, the Old Testament is full of that. And if you think about Israel going through the desert, so they come out of Egypt and they end up in the desert, and they're traveling towards a promised land and everything goes perfect, right? You're allowed to say, no, it didn't. It actually went pretty bad. Even Moses stepped in it, right? He didn't get to go into the promised land. But it was a time of shaping and a time of forming. You know, consider for a moment the children of Israel, what happened in those years, those desert years. It was a time of purification, a time of reshaping, a time of spiritual growth. And yes, there were setbacks, but I think if it wasn't for that desert experience, they would not have been ready to enter the promised land. God led them through the desert. He didn't abandon them in the desert. He led them through the desert, as he's been leading us. He's faithful in the desert, and he built a nation. And that leads us to Joshua.
So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at a couple of chapters in Joshua. So Joshua chapters 3 and 4, there's going to be portions of it. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I would encourage you to read it later. Maybe even read the whole book of Joshua. It's actually really fascinating. It's always been one of my favorite books, you know, with God starting off with, right at the beginning, it's like, how many times did he say to Joshua, be strong and very courageous? You know, be careful to keep all the law. I think that in this time we've had to learn how to be courageous. And I think as we step into the new year, and as we look at what is it that God wants for us and us as a church, what does that look like? So in this case, Israel is preparing to cross the Jordan River. So as they were preparing to cross the Jordan, Joshua had some instructions for them about how to proceed. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, step out and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, as you've not been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Sorry, fighting with my paperwork here. The ark represented God's presence among them, as the Holy Spirit does for us today. The ark was only to be carried by the priests. No one was to touch it. No one was allowed near it. Under the Levitical law, access to God was through the priests, and the Ark of the Covenant was God's presence with them. When Jesus died, we gained direct access to God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And that is so cool, because when you read through the Old Testament, the laws that were the necessary things that were to keep them focused towards God, that we have open access. When Jesus died on the cross, that big curtain that had been in the temple that separated them from the Holy of Holies was torn. It was gone. Thank God for that. So let's read from Joshua 5 through 13. Too many things here. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go before you into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all of the earth, notice he said that twice, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. That's must have been a powerful sight. So consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. God needed them focused on his plan for them, to be attuned to what was about to happen. He reminded them that this is how they would know that the living God was among them, that he would miraculously deliver them from other nations that were against them. And I think even as we launch into 2021, it's so important, as Matt said, that our hearts are focused towards what is it that we, as the church, as the people of God, what is our call in this year? When the people broke camp and headed to the Jordan, following the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, The Jordan was at flood stage all through harvest. So why did God wait till flood stage? I don't know. Maybe a little bit more drama? I don't know. We all need a lot of encouragement when it comes to our faith. The waters, when the priest's feet went into the water, the water stood up and they all crossed on dry ground. Now, I don't know. I've read through this so many times. Dry ground, really? What happens when waters recede? What do you see? Silt, mud, sludge. You know, I'm not walking in that. God just dried it all up. It was dry ground. Joshua 4:1-9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you are to stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulders, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future," and this is important, "in the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day, which I also find interesting. So when they crossed, 12 leaders, one from each tribe, was to pick up a stone in the middle of the river from where the priests had been standing with the Ark of the Covenant and carry it on their shoulders, which I'm still didn't get a chance to actually look at to see why it was on their shoulders, to the place that they would stop for the night. The stones were to serve as a sign among them. Joshua set up the stones of remembrance at Gilgal and instructed them that when future generations ask, "What is the meaning of these stones?" tell them how God parted the Jordan and they all crossed over on dry ground. So stones of remembrance, what does it mean for us? For them, it was meant to be a reminder of God's faithfulness and provision. It was a visual reminder, a calling back to God as their provider, their protector, and their guide. This provision was for the Israelites, but it also served as a testimony to the nature and character of God to those around them. Like, can you imagine? I mean, the river backed up all the way to, I believe it's the town of Adam. So not that it really matters, but it was quite a distance. It just backed right up. It's like we had weird stuff happen this year, but can you imagine, like, the people there? Because not only was that, but they crossed the Jordan. So again, I think God kind of went, well, we're going to have some witnesses to this one. Maybe not. Maybe there is something else for that one, but that was one of the things that kind of struck me. But I mean, that was a pretty weird phenomenon, don't you think? So in Joshua 24, just to kind of highlight that, God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord. And then just because I think it's really important, and it kind of, even though it's chapter 5, it kind of falls into chapter 4. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all of the Canaanite kings along the coast heard that the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Pretty cool, hey? Pretty cool. So how does this apply to us? What significance does this story have for us? Well, one of the things is that we also need stones of remembrance. We need markers. We need reminders of the goodness, the faithfulness and the provision of God. We are so quick to forget how God provided in the past, especially when we're in a time like this, when we're in an unknown, when whatever issues come up that seem so outside of our control. We struggle, right? We just do. We are encouraged and reminded to call to remembrance God's provision, his care, and his blessing. So markers or stones of remembrance will call you back, will call us back, will remind us. And there's times sometimes when we need to actually sit down and we need to write down things, you know, when we're struggling. And Tara has taught me a lot of that as they've walked through a couple years of incredible challenges. To list all of the things how God has provided. Because it reminds us when the enemy is telling us lies that, nah, God's got this. God's got this.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, there was a little part of me that was tempted to bring up a bunch of stones and build a pile of them here as a symbolic, but they're all frozen in the ground, so that was too much work. I mean, if God had melted the snow over a pile of rocks, I would have grabbed them, but there's probably ways that we can set some things as a reminder, but we'll come back to that. Mm. I mean, let's think about this last year. Even as those stones of remembrance were to remind them of what God had done, and God had, I mean, carried them through the desert, first out of Egypt, through the desert, and now across on dry ground. And you know, if you know the story, of course, life is not going to necessarily get easier for Joshua. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. You know, they're supposed to go in and essentially conquer the promised land. It wasn't going to be all roses and sunshine on the other side of the Jordan. But by having that reminder of what God's done, it anchors our faith. So we're just thinking of some of the things that God's done here in the church this last year. Actually last couple of years, but I mean, our financial needs have been met for one. Phil mentioned that a bit at the beginning, before we came up. I think at times as a board, you're kind of wondering, like, what are our finances going to look like? Matt may not have worried about it, I don't know, but, but you know, I mean, it's a question. And I'm grateful for Ryan's faith in this. You know, it's actually been really cool working on the board in this time. Really an awesome group of people. And they put up with me, so that's a bonus there. But our financial needs have been met as a church, and through some interesting ways. I mean, it's not all been ways that just through, you know, direct giving, but there's been, God has been faithful and opened doors for us. We're still here together. Yeah, I mean, the church isn't full this morning, and there's various reasons for that. Probably some people out skiing, some people online. That's okay. We're still here. I mean, he's carried us through. We are still the church. We built a daycare. Who in the right mind tries to build and open a daycare in the middle of a pandemic when you're not even sure about finances, whether you're going to meet our needs? This guy.
In his vision.
You know, I mean, I'll be honest. I had some trepidation. But I trusted Matt's vision and leadership on this one. And believing that God was in this. It wasn't about, you know, me kind of going, oh, you know, because I tend to like to figure things out. I'm the kind of guy, I like to have not only ducks in a row, but I like them nailed down, okay? You suckers aren't going anywhere, you know? That's kind of my, you know, and Matt, you know, ran with this, and we have a daycare. And, you know, the funding behind that, you know the story. God is good. And out of that, we're able to bless the community. You know, Matt gets to read Bible stories to kids who aren't hearing them anywhere else. We have children here being ministered to and families in the area and their kids looked after, and it's outreach to the community in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, the kids actually, lots of the kids, Matt was telling us that he had opportunity to teach them the Christmas story because a lot of kids had no idea. And I'm not sure if this is quite the right wording, but I believe some of the kids said, well, is Jesus bigger than Santa? So just really, really cool opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, it's, wow. God is good, amen?
Amen.
I mean, it couldn't have happened without him. This wasn't just some great idea. This was something God is absolutely behind and made it happen. We survived meeting online. I'm grateful for that. God, we were able, like our small group, we were able to meet online. We're stay connected. We've had that ability to do that. And I give the glory to God for that. I mean, I think out of this, we realize this how important community is. God has taught us, refreshed our memory on that. We need each other. And maybe before the pandemic, through all this has gone on this last year or two, I wonder if we're kind of forgetting how important it was to be together and how much we need one another. It's been a reminder of that. It's a lesson God has taught us. You notice the carpets and whatever. I mean, we renovated a church in the middle of this pandemic. Here's a cool thing. We had to do things like asbestos remediation and all sorts of stuff. We couldn't have met here during those days. Well, they're doing that, really. And then they're doing work upstairs, and it would have been a mess. You imagine trying to get this building ready every Sunday in the middle of all the renovations? But for a long time, we couldn't meet. We couldn't meet in here, you know, because, you know, COVID. And during that time, though, the construction guys could be in here and do their part. I want to talk about awesome timing. You think God was in that? I'd like to think so. It was more than just a convenience. It was a blessing. So while we're meeting online anyways and our time up at Oasis, the time in the park, which, by the way, was awesome. But we're doing that because, you know, the government's saying we have to. While we're doing that, the mess in here is being dealt with. God is good.
Actually, meeting in the park is probably one of my favorites. I think my personality, there's often times where I feel in the middle of a service that I'd like to speak to somebody. And at the park, I could just simply, it wasn't rude to get up and actually walk over to somebody else. And we were spaced out enough. There was lots of room to move around. And got to speak some words of encouragement and blessing on people when the Spirit kind of said, you need to do this now. So, just another blessing.
Yeah, for sure. Even with the trains and everything else, it all worked out. I don't know, what are maybe some other things that maybe you're thinking of that happened this past year that God has shown himself faithful, either in the church that otherwise, or maybe in your own life or community around you? Are there any other things? I was going to ask this question earlier, and I kind of forgot to, so. You're all quiet today. Oh, there's a hand.
The prayer that happened from I joined in March has been absolutely revolutionary in my life. Like, it's continued, the momentum is building. Anyone wants a blessing, come to prayer on Wednesday
morning. Yeah, amen.
Cool.
Yeah, there have been kind of new, or maybe revived, as well as new opportunities like that to really connect to God in a different way. I think we've kind of learned that we can actually meet with God differently. It doesn't have to be an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. There's so many ways that God would have us come together and to bless one another and encourage one another and spend time in prayer to him and worship and loving one another. Anything else? I know you're all sleepy. Maybe a little New Year's. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's been amazing. The game base has been amazing. Just the spirit, the attitude, praise, the worship, messages, like you say, what Matt has shared with us, the encouragement, the light groups. those times when you do, you mentioned earlier the Jaws thing, sense of trepidation maybe, but in that time, so I think many of us did draw into the prayer closet or into the prayer valley or prayer is prayer groups, whatever it is, you're, it was a time where it was at the forefront of the minds to be praying, to be interceding, and to be just crying out to God to walk with us. And it's been the encouragement.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it has been, it's been cool. And I know there's been difficult times. There's been, well, let's be honest, there's been some, all that's gone on has been difficult on relationships too. And there's been a lot of opportunity for strife. And yeah, and yet God has carried us through. I mean, it hasn't been perfect. It's been a little messy at times. But God is good. And you know, we need one another. And I think that's been shown. I mean, how, I don't know, maybe it's a dangerous question to ask, but how many would prefer to be sitting at home by themselves instead of being here together? I'm glad I don't see a bunch of hands, because that'd be a little disturbing, you know. I wish I wasn't here this morning. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's always got to be the one. That's okay. We love you too. Anything else?
And if anything, that is a super testament to the community that we as believers have within the church. And I think one of the things that, you know, I want to make a point of, I know that when we hadn't had a chance, I think it was 5 months that the first time that we weren't able to get together. And yes, it was kind of nice to just throw your pajamas on and, you know, go sit in front of the, oops, I lost my mic, there we go. To sit in front of the in front of the TV with your cup of coffee or your breakfast or whatever, right? But it didn't take long to realize how desperately we needed to have community. And when we came back together those first few Sundays, oh my gosh, it was such a sense of, oh yeah, this is where I belong. And I think for a lot of people who haven't felt safe, who are watching online today, I think one of the things I want to encourage you is, there are safe ways of getting together with people. Don't just sit in your homes. It's really, really important that you have, that's cutting in and out, that one. It's really, really important that you have people, as Kim and I were talking earlier, with skin on, that it's not just a television screen, that it's somebody who is there, who touches your shoulder, who maybe both with masks on, you get a hug. It's just so important. And I think we need to remember, too, that we need to do everything that we can to make others feel safe. I know that there's some who don't come because they don't feel safe for all kinds of reasons. But I think we need to do everything we can that we can be the body of Christ together. Anything you want to add to that before I pray?
Yeah. I was kind of wondering, am I going to get the mic back? By the way, I've been to Nowhere, Saskatchewan. It's flat. I'm not sure where your Nowhere, Saskatchewan was, but having spent 4 years in southern Saskatchewan and going to seminary and then preaching in a few, when I say country churches, we're talking about, like, it's so far out there in the middle of nowhere that people still drive an hour to get there to go to church. Yeah, we had to drive two to get there. Amen. And that actually kind of leads into a passage I think I want to share this morning. I wasn't going to. It was a different one originally. I mean, poor Carly, by the way, trying to get ready for this morning. I think it was a bit of a gong show. In John 17, I leave this kind of as a parting challenge. In John 17, it's kind of sometimes we refer to it as Jesus' high priestly prayer. Call it what you will. It's a beautiful, powerful chapters. Where to start here? Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and me are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That we may be one. May that be on our hearts this year and coming together. I'll close this now then.
I'll have to hold that because it's rolling. Can I get you guys to stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. They are new every single day. And Lord, as we launch into 2022, Lord, I ask your guidance and your blessing on each of us individually and as a church. Lord, that we would truly be salt and light as we continue on in this pandemic that every day we get fear thrown at us. Lord, we ask that you would, by your power, that you would teach us all you want us to learn in the middle of all of this. Because you've allowed this. You're doing things in this time that wouldn't have happened any other way. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us listening ears and tender hearts. Pray in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.